Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Get right back to the calls after a number of fantastic guests earlier. TG is up next.
Hello?
Yes, go right ahead. Thanks for the call.
Hey, is this, have you got the right part? Is this for Tim?
Yeah, if that's you, go right ahead.
Yes, it is me, Paul. Hey, thank you. I enjoy your show.
Thank you.
You might need to change it to the Dr. Paul Feinbaum Show.
Not a bad idea.
I hope you can hear me okay. Can you still?
You sound great.
Okay, great. Here, I have two questions, and I'm a volunteer fan, and I'm a simple guy from East Tennessee, but this NIL, I would like for you to maybe elaborate, maybe for me and maybe some of your reviewers, possibly, this NIL process in terms of how it originates, where does it start? I understand there's money involved and all this sort of thing, and this player's, you know, left Florida over it and that sort of thing. But where does the money originate? Does it originate with the player? Does it originate with the university?
The university technically is not involved, although that's open for debate. There are a couple ways it goes. I mean, it can be an individual business. If you own an insurance company and you want the quarterback to do commercials for you, then that's between you and him, like any other business deal. It can be done through what's called collectives. This is really a gray area here. These are essentially booster groups that are paying players.
So it kind of just goes with the player, in other words.
Well, the player, if you go back to the genesis of NIL, which obviously everyone knows means name, image, and likeness, that's an individual relationship between a player and another entity. And so he has anyone who does an NIL deal with a player is required to correspond with the university, I think, to let them know what they are doing. And
okay,
it's really uncontrollable.
Okay, not trying to interrupt, but it's not necessarily the university saying,
no.
Hey, we can give you NIL deals if you come here.
In theory, Tim, the university is prohibited from doing that.
Okay. I got you. Okay.
Don't believe that.
And
though.
Then, sorry. Okay. Yeah. Well, it's funny. I played Division I athletics years ago, but this is all so new to me. And I just thought, I just needed a better explanation, and that helped some. And
if I could go back to when you played, it's not a whole lot different than
I played in the 80s.
Yeah,
so.
Well, I mean, back then, and I'm pretty familiar with that era. You were recruited, and the coach could not say to you, "Hey, listen, I know you're a great player, and we'd like to help you get a car." He said, "Listen, he would have somebody else, a booster, contact you."
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. But we were also told, hey, we flew a lot of places, and when we flew, we were told, hey, you wear a coat and a tie,
right?
And you do this and you do that, and here's your meal money for the weekend, and that's you go represent the university. That's the way it was.
But Tim,
then.
I'll never forget being in a locker room in college, and I saw the guy handing out the meal money. And I saw one player get more than the other, and I asked somebody about it, and he said, well, he had a much better game.
that's as my dad and grandfather would tell me, that's life.
Yeah, well, so, no, of course, but I mean, I was onto this early on. Yeah. I thought I had a scandal brewing right there at the Tennessee locker room.
Funny. I know. I can tell you another really funny story I heard about some college. I'll do that at another show. But anyway, I don't want to keep your time up. But my next question is, on these final rankings, college football rankings, not that it means – really the only thing that means anything is who finished number one.
Correct.
Which is Georgia. Okay, we all get that. But how does Tennessee fall behind Alabama when – they beat Alabama, and then Tennessee also beat – they narrowly beat Alabama, and then they beat LSU like a drum, who LSU beat Alabama, and then Tennessee went on to beat Clemson, who was ranked in the top 10 at the time. How do they finish behind Alabama in the final rankings?
Well, here's how. Because Tennessee, because of the loss to – South Carolina fell below Alabama in the CFP poll. And to Nick Saban's credit or discredit, he was able to create a perception in the media's mind that Alabama belonged in the playoffs, and Josh Heupel never bothered with that. So I think Alabama's place was cemented ahead of Tennessee, and I certainly understand your argument and have heard it from many other people in the state. Thank you for the call. Do appreciate it, and hope you'll call again. Colton is up next in Oklahoma. Hello, Colton.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
We are doing well.
Hey, I was calling this year, you know, OU, they fell way beyond my expectations. And I was wondering if you think that that's a Lincoln Riley result or a Brent Venables poor coaching result.
I think it's a transition, and I mean I was shocked as you were by a couple of the games, especially the Texas game. I felt like OU beat Oklahoma State at the end of the season, didn't they? I'm trying to remember, which I think helped a little bit, but I just think Venables, walked into a chaotic situation, where he loses a tremendous amount of players in the portal. Several key ones to USC, and it was the first year can be brutal, and I think it was. I will say he needs to, and I think he's going to. He's getting some huge players, and I think the quarterback situation is a lot better. And we still don't know whether he'll lose his offensive coordinator or not. But I expect it to be better. But if it's not significantly better, then there will be a reckoning there.
Yes, sir. I agree. OU.
I mean, Oklahoma. I feel Oklahoma should never have a bad season. That's how much I think of that program. And this will be what 23. This is it because Oklahoma will be in the SEC in 24.
Yes, sir. And that's what I'm worried about.
It's a legitimate concern. And Colton, Joe Castiglione bet big on Brent Venables, an outstanding coordinator, but somebody who is a mystery as a head coach. Thank you very much. It's a great concern, and maybe answered very quickly. Bubba is in North Carolina. Hello, Bubba.
Hey, Paul. How you doing this evening?
Bub, we are great.
Hey, Randy got a big kick out of I-Man's joke, didn't he?
Randy liked that one. I didn't hear it.
Yeah, I could hear him chuckling.
Yeah, I don't approve of that kind of humor about Nick Saban.
Hey, the NIL deal, you perfectly explained it a minute ago when you said back in the 80s, the coaches conveyed their wishes to the boosters and they conveyed the coaches' wishes to the players. That's exactly what's happening now. I know how NIL is supposed to work on paper, but you perfectly explained NIL by describing how they did it in '80.
I've had countless coaches tell me in the past that they would read the Riot Act to their player, to their coaches. You will get fired if I hear of any allegation that you are paying a player. What that means is make sure somebody else does it.
They're obligated to say that to their coaching
exactly.
staff.
They all want to be on record in case they get caught.
Oh, yeah, they want to say that in front of the newspaper people,
oh, yeah,
the local TV people. Oh, yeah, but we know how this works, Paul.
Of course.
You've been around it too long.
Well, but every once in a while, the coach would be desperate, and he would get in the middle of it, and that's usually when you had a scandal.
That's when you had NCAA violations.
Right.
People got sloppy.
Yeah.
The best coaches out there are the ones that never got sloppy with it. They know how to play the game.
And
I'm talking from your Nick Sabans to your Jimbo Fishers, right down to Hugh Freeze or Bobby Petrino, whoever you want to throw out there. The guys that excel at it are not going to get caught because they know how the game is played.
And, Bubba, you know the problem for some of these coaches now who have been finagling the system is that it – used to be that the smart coaches knew how to master it. Now everyone's now everyone's getting players, and it's affecting certain programs.
Absolutely. How do you think Jeremy Pruitt got caught so fast and so easily?
Well,
he didn't know how to pull that off. He thought he did.
Jeremy just wasn't very smart about it.
No, exactly. He did. He wasn't smart enough to pull this off, and he created his own misery. As well as the University of Tennessee's misery. But he didn't do anything that others hadn't done in the past.
Oh, no. But I think a lot of people have said, well, hey, Jeremy, I've heard third hand, second hand maybe fourth, that he told people, we never got caught for that elsewhere. I mean, he was at Florida State. He was at Alabama.
Fact you never got caught doesn't mean you never did it. Philip Fulmer and Alabama used to have bidding wars for players.
Oh, sure.
You know this.
Well, Philip.
You know this.
Yeah, I mean, I know that. I mean, Philip called Alabama out 25 years ago, and because he wasn't getting any players out of Memphis, because you had a guy in Memphis that was.
That's because they were outbidding Philip's boosters.
Yeah, it's still it doesn't matter whether you get outbid or not. You're still upset.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. It's all about their ego at the end of the day. And I'm a diehard Tennessee fan. I love Philip Fulmer just like everybody that wears orange in Knoxville.
Sure.
But I'm not dumb. I know how this game's been played.
No. And I mean, that was Bubba, when I was a young reporter, that's all I did was look into that stuff. And it was pervasive. It was everywhere. It was hard to prove, but...
Absolutely, and nobody really wanted you to prove it because you would have upset the whole sport.
I had a really good source who was the head coach at one school, and he would feed me stuff, and then I called him. I finally got down to the final moment of the story where I called him and said, "Hey, by the way, I've got all this information," and you know what he did? He called the head coach at his biggest rival to tell him what I was doing because I didn't realize they had a deal that they both could cheat like crazy and they wouldn't turn each other in.
It's honor among thieves.
Yeah, and I was about to violate the code.
Oh, you were about to turn the mafia upside down.
And the Auburn coach wanted to make sure. Oh, I slipped.
No. We know the past of college football.
Yeah.
Hey, I've got one question for you though.
Okay.
What has happened to Jerome? I miss Jerome bad. I used to look forward to his calls, and we're going to have to plead with his wife to get him back on the phone again.
He was calling after Alabama lost to Georgia. Remember his wife called? And
yeah.
The truth is, Bubba, Jerome demanded NIL money. And we don't pay callers. I know we've been asked to pay callers before, but – that is just against the rules. You're not allowed to pay callers unless you're really good. We'll take a short break, and we're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Welcome back as Bob joins us next. Hello, Bob.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
We are well. Thank you.
Look, Bob, I mean, Paul, I'm calling in because I keep hearing all these people talk about Alabama and all these Georgia fans that are constantly harping on Alabama. I don't understand why they can't just enjoy the fact over the last 2 years they've won two national championships. They have a great team. They have a great coach. They're doing well. But it's like Alabama lives in their mind, and they can't just accept what they have. I'm baffled by it. It's like they have a complex.
Well, it does take a while to get used to winning, but.
Well, you say that, Paul, and that's the thing is, I don't remember who said it one time, but we've been there. We understand it. We don't have to sit there and talk about everybody else. And I know we have some crazy Alabama fans that do stupid stuff, but geez, man, come on. Enjoy your win.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Gene is up next in Florida. Hello, Gene.
Hey, Paul. I hope you don't mind me changing the subject a little bit, but I was
no.
a student
of course.
At the University of Florida in the early 1980s, and I really enjoyed a sports columnist for the Gainesville Sun named Jack Hairston. I was wondering if you knew him.
I sure did, and Jack Hairston was an absolute legend. I don't know him. I didn't know him well because he was considerably older than I was. But I know, based on my relationship with Steve Spurrier, that Steve Spurrier worshipped this guy. And there was an era, Gene, that every town in the SEC had a guy like Jack Hairston, and those guys stayed in that job for 40 or 50 years and became as connected to the school as the coach, because they were there through all the different coaches. And he was truly legendary, highly respected, very influential. And I did meet him a number of times, but being such a difference in age, I didn't know him particularly well.
Well, you can probably remember when you used to get the newspaper and you'd go straight to the sports page
sure.
and you'd go straight to see if you saw a picture and read that first.
Yeah, there's a reason. I mean, we don't see newspapers anymore, but the local columnists, and it depended on the paper. Sometimes they were down the right-hand side, other times down the left-hand side. And your eyes were just trained to read that first, because that guy you knew, and most of the time he was going to take care of the home team.
He was just such a wordsmith.
Yeah.
And I was hoping you knew him as well as maybe.
And I know I'm going to sound like an old timer here, Gene, but there's such an art to writing, and I think the great broadcasters over time are those who have either written before or have command of the language. And it's painful sometimes to listen to broadcasters that have no vocabulary. I'm talking about the guys that do the game, not the analysts, because analysts are there to describe what they see. And it's such a, you know, back then, the great broadcasters of those eras all started in radio, where you had to talk for hours. It wasn't just watching a screen and describing, and it usually emanated from having been a writer first.
Well, thank you. I hope I've added to the SEC.
No, that was fun. I know I'll hear from some people that knew Jack extremely well, and I'm glad to hear from you. Thank you. Don is up next in Iowa. Hello, Don.
Yeah, hello, Paul. I want you to know that I've been listening to your show for many years, and I really enjoy it.
Thank you.
I'm 89 years old, and here a while back you were talking about Charlie Trippi.
Right.
I saw him play with the Chicago Cardinals. They had a million-dollar backfield. They had Elmer Angstman, who was an all-star with, Notre Dame. And then they had Dale Harder, I think his name, an All-American from Wisconsin. Anyway, that franchise is now the Arizona Cardinals,
right.
if I'm respect. I just wanted to tell that, but also I want to just mention this point. When I was living in Denver, Colorado, I had my Alabama hat on, and we were waiting to get our meal, and we were in line, and the fellow in back of me says, "I don't like your hat." You know, it says Alabama, so... I didn't want to make it, I wanted to make it light. So I turned around and I said, "Oh, you must be one of those Auburn fans." And he said, "No." And he mentioned something about Mississippi. And so I wanted to still keep it light. I says, "Oh, I really like the uniforms of the University of Mississippi." I don't know if he was from Mississippi or what, but...
Right.
I learned this, Paul, that being an Alabama fan, you have to pay the price of other people hating you because Bama has done so well through the years. And now I'm a big Bama basketball fan, and they're number four in the nation, you know, in basketball. So anyway, that's pretty much what I wanted to talk to you about. Again, I enjoy your show. I've been listening to it for heaven knows how long.
Well, Don, thank you for sharing that, and I hope to speak with you again very soon. All the best. Thanks for the call. We head to the break here on a Friday night, and we'll get to your phone calls when we come back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And we're back, final 30 minutes of the week, and who better to talk to than our friend Larry?
Paul Feinbaum. Hey, man, my name been getting dropped around, especially by AJ. And I'll tell you something about Legend. Do some homework, Legend. We got five running backs. We got 8 defensive backs, okay, and our quarterback's going to be Eli Holmstrom, the number one quarterback in the country. He went out to California and blew the lid off everything. So do your homework, man, before you get up here. Woo! And, all right. Now, on that AJ, this is the main event.
Now, what did, hey, AJ, what did, now hold listen. On. What did AJ say? I don't even remember.
AJ, run his mouth about calling me a misogynist or some crap.
Oh, yes, I do remember him. The guy that was upset
with
me.
I want to put him in that WrestleMania. Okay. I want to put him in last man standing. Because what I'm going to do is I'm going to bounce his head off that turnbuckle about 5 times. Then I'm going to put him in a dead man Ric Flair drop. Woo! And drop him on the mat. And then I'm going to get on a top rope and come down with a big elbow on his head. And then I'm going to throw his ass off the top, off the ring, out of the ring. And then I'm going to go down there and I'm going to take an aluminum chair and hit him about 5 times. Then I'm going to put his head in the aluminum chair, fold it up, and I'm going to jump off the top rope on it. And then he's going to be done.
Larry, if
and
I could interrupt for a second. Larry, don't you think, Larry, you think he'd still be alive at this point?
No, he'd probably be in intensive care, but he won't be saying no more about me. I promise you, he won't even want to hear my
Larry,
name.
Could I talk to you as a friend here for just a moment?
Yeah, go ahead. That pisses me off. He don't know what he's talking about, Fine Bomb. You should have talked to him.
Well, I probably should have, but he was criticizing me for the way I talked to you, so I was in a conundrum.
I know.
Larry, do you think it's a good idea, considering what you've been through lately, to be getting into these type of even imaginary fights?
Hey, that boy ain't probably nothing.
I vaguely remember talking to you a couple weeks ago from the hospital. Do I remember correctly?
Yeah, but I done found me some rejuvenation, man.
Like it, Larry. And I, in a perfect world, I would like to see you do that to him.
Woo! You go, boy. I know you.
And Larry, I think you still. Larry, I still think you got some moves left in you.
Yeah, how about just ride him around in my patrol car and slam the brakes on for a few dogs I almost hit?
I still like, Larry, what's that thing called with the grill?
Oh, yeah, screen test. You want to be a movie star? And they go, yo, man, well, come up here and do the screen test. All right, and I hit the brake, and I hit that wire mesh. Boom. So you fail the screen test, you ain't going to be a movie star.
So you once did that, Larry. Is that correct?
No, I'm not admitting nothing. Larry, I'm going to hit a dog. I hate that about that boy.
Statute of limitations is up, Larry.
I like what you told him. Hey, stay out of jail and quit getting drunk. I mean, hell, Paul. What would you do up there with him spitting on you and talking about what he's going to do to your mama and all that? What would you do?
I would do the same thing.
Damn right. Anybody would. But I plead the fifth. I ain't saying nothing else. You recording this.
No. Nobody's paying attention to what you're saying now, Larry.
I know Randy is. He don't like me.
Randy, do you approve of what Larry's talking about here?
Absolutely.
Randy says go for it.
Oh, okay. Me and Randy's tight. You go, big
dog.
Here's
the only thing I say is once you throw him out of the ring, I'd let it go.
Yeah, I probably won't put his head in that chair.
Because here's the deal. From a legal standpoint, Larry, whatever you do in the ring is protected.
Yeah,
but
that's
I think
right.
Once you go outside the ring, the liability is going to go with you. So I would once you hit him 4 or 5 times, once you go off the top rope, then you toss him out. I would let it go right there.
Yeah, I'm just going to do the dead man drop, Ric Flair. You know.
Besides, I think once you
down.
Throw somebody out of the ring, and they land on the cement, I don't think they're moving.
Yeah, that's right. I'm going to put him in Ric Flair dead man drop in the ring. Woo! Boom, right on that head.
You know, Larry, I have to tell you this, okay? I've been worried about you lately. You haven't seemed to have the old Larry spirit, the old Larry energy. But you know what? You got it back.
Yeah, I'm right. I'm pumped, man. You done resumed. I took a Viagra, man.
Whoa!
Hold on, Larry. You, I mean, I know what Viagra, I understand what Viagra does. But I've never heard, Randy, correct me, I've never heard anybody taking a Viagra just to make a phone call to the Feinbaum show.
Yeah, I got stuck in my throat and I can't even move my neck, man. I can't even move my head.
Hey, Larry, if you call, I don't want you to call me from the emergency room in a couple of hours and say they can't make it, but anyway.
I know, I dropped it, and my commode guy can't get the lid shut.
I always thought that was the craziest story in the world. Did you hear that, Larry and Randy? This guy, years ago, he took like four or five of these things, and he went to the emergency room, and this thing was like,
doing what it does.
Yeah, I mean, it was like for 4 hours. And he was all upset, and I told that to somebody, and he said, "Man, if I had that problem, I wouldn't go to the emergency room. I'd call a news conference."
I find a news. Oh well.
Okay, Larry. I don't want to step on a good call, so we have to go to the break. But we just broke the Guinness Book of World Record for man takes Viagra to make Feinbaum show call. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. Todd is up next. Hello, Todd.
Hey, Paul. Thank you for letting me get in. I just figured since all them Georgia folks is on us today, I figured I better call. Paul, is 1 out of 7 that good?
It's not good odds, no.
I think that's how many times they hit the last 7 times we played. That's how many times they beat us, I think.
That is correct.
So that don't sound real good. And also, we built 2 domes over in Georgia. At least they ought to come to Birmingham and build us one. Don't you think?
Absolutely.
Also, I don't know how to respond to I-Man's call. The only thing I know to say is, I man's kind of like a little troll, and he scares small children, Paul. That's all I know. I don't know how to respond to him. But anyway, also, let Augie know we're praying for Francis, his mother-in-law.
Well, that is and very nice of you to say. Yeah, he called in last. Well, thank you very much, Todd. Ron is up next in Virginia. Hello, Ron.
Paul, longtime caller, buddy. You know, I've been listening to Larry from Shelby, Alabama, about the Viagra thing. It kind of turned me on a little bit. You know, I'm not down an I-Man, but the next time you talk to him, Paul, ask I-Man if he's ever tried Viagra when he's been on your show.
Yeah.
And
I mean,
if I get a call from
who does Viagra? Is that Glaxo? Welcome. Yeah. If I get a call from one of their people, I mean, we could do a sponsorship.
Sure. You know, actually, you could probably do a commercial. And going off on that, that was pretty good, is I want to talk about the Michigan coach, Matt West,
okay,
the offensive coordinator. He got fired today, Paul, for computer corruption or fraud or whatever. Now, you know, you've been good about this today. And yesterday and the day before about Jim Harbaugh. Okay, he's got his offensive coordinator that is fired. Jim Harbaugh is in the corner for lying to the NCAA, and they're waiting for him to come out and tell the truth, which I don't think that's going to happen. Mike or Paul, what do you think about this? Do you think it's going to be like a dominoes thing? That they got their offensive coordinator, then they're going to come down and get the rest of Jim Harbaugh's coaching staff.
Ron, I think
and
the
himself.
Important thing to remember about this coordinator firing today is this is not NCAA related. This is something I think criminal, is it not, or at least borderline criminal? Yeah, I mean he's accused of pilfering emails from the school system. So I mean, I know it sounds absurd, but I don't think it necessarily relates directly to Harbaugh, other than it's another weird story on Harbaugh's clock. Thanks for the call. Do appreciate it. AJ is up next. Hello, AJ.
Thank you, Paul, for letting me come in here and address Larry. Thank you so much for the call again for the night. Larry, If you want to throw me into a turnbuckle, or you want to do whatever you want to do, that's fine, because I'm pretty sure that I could buy you a 12-pack of Bud Light and a box of popcorn, and you'd sit over there in the stands and shut the living rip up. What I really want to talk, more importantly, I want to talk about.
I want to make sure, did you feel personally threatened by that phone call?
Not at all. Not at all, because I come from the South, too. See, he's down there at Oakham up on Lay Lake. I'm right up here at Pell City on Logie Martin Lake. Babe, we're in a better place up here. Stay down there at Oakham, old Larry. Stay down there in Redneckville, baby. We in the up and up here where the money's at, baby. So, Larry, stay down there, and we'll send you a 12-pack every now and then. Hopefully it ain't half empty. But what I really want to talk about is, Paul, I'm an Auburn fan, and you, as you know, but Georgia is right now at this point, all Georgia is an offspring. Legend was wrong. They're not Alabama Junior yet. They're just an offspring of Clemson at this point. Am I wrong or right?
Well, I don't know if it's if we're, first of all, I don't think the records matter a whole lot other than where we are in time. I think that's what Georgia has in its favor.
Oh yeah, absolutely. They're for the moment. Listen, I'm an Auburn fan. We've been battling Alabama all my life. I'm 46 years old, and I promise you, I respect Nick Saban as a winner and as a fantastic coach. Let me, another thing, can I get your take on one thing? Would you say that the landscape of college football has completely changed because of the stronghold or the monopoly over either Nick Saban's recruiting abilities in Alabama or the SEC overall? Because both of them can kind of correlate together. And now we have this NIL because, you know, you got Dumbo Fisher and people like that out there. Ohio State can't stand it. There's so many West Coast, East Coast, Midwest. There's so many college campuses that cannot they couldn't handle the dominance of the Southeastern Conference, first of all. And then you got to, if you don't say SEC, you have to mention Nick Saban.
Well, AJ, Nick Saban has been the most dominant coach in the modern football era. What he has done is breathtaking, and everyone had to adapt. The SEC had already was already in a position of dominance. I mean, this started, you know, with Nick Saban at LSU, and then it went over to Urban Meyer, and then Les Miles had a national championship in the middle of that, and Auburn's had one and almost had another. So, yeah, I mean, this thing has been building, but when you consider that Saban won 6 national championships in a 14-15-year period.
And I mean, I respect Georgia as well as you do, and I respect Alabama. I hate them, but I respect them. But the thing about it is, I mean, intellectually speaking, I mean, come on. Okay, a dynasty is not 2 or 3 years.
Well, no, but AJ, what we don't know though, and nobody could know, is, you know, I felt like when Saban won in 2009 that he would be winning a number of championships. I couldn't have predicted what he did. In fact, he may have left one or two on the table. That shows you how dominant he was.
Oh, absolutely.
Georgia has won 2. You hear them say now, well, we almost won another one. I have no idea. I mean, the reason why I don't think you can make everyone's already predicting Georgia next year, but the biggest change in college football history is 1 year away. After the 23 season, when this playoff starts, I don't think you're going to be able to predict what's going to happen after 3 or 4 weeks of a college football playoff. We've never been down this road before. Anyway, another road we haven't been down is having to say goodnight for the week. We are simply out of time. Thanks to all of you for making this a memorable week. Have a great weekend.